Page 37. 3. Listening and speaking. Language and gender. B. Listen again and answer the questions. Write notes.
Good morning, and welcome to the first lecture on language and gender. So, you should have seen the course outline and assignment schedule on the website, but I'd just like to add a brief overview before we begin. The study of language and gender has always been such a controversial and sensitive issue that there are huge debates, even arguments about it, not just in universities, but also in the media. There are a great many general books on the subject, and not all of these are reliable, being based on the author's beliefs and opinions and not on research. So please keep to the reading list also on the website. Now, the purpose of this course is to enable you to analyze the relationship between language and gender on the one hand and society on the other, and to do so on the basis of evidence or facts and not simply popular belief. Having said that, evidence can be very difficult to acquire, and we'll look at why later on. In Lecture 1, we start by looking at some common stereotypes about the language of men and women, and we will explore questions such as, do women talk more than men? Are women better listeners? Are women less confident and therefore less assertive? These are the kinds of issues that the media love to debate. However, we will look at the various studies that have been done on this and find different answers. One researcher, Janet Hyde is the reference, took all the combined studies and found there was little or no difference between the sexes on most of these issues. Having said that, in Lecture 2, we return to the first of these questions, do women talk more than men? While there have been very different results in various studies, the general consensus is that men often talk more than women. However, we need to be careful here, because it is also true that people who have a high social status tend to talk more than lower status people. So could the finding that men talk more be because traditionally in our society men have been dominant? We look also at studies where status is not an issue, and we find in most informal situations the two sexes contribute about equally to conversations. In Lecture 3, we look at gender-marked language, which is regarded by many as sexist language. Some terms are now falling out of use. Fireman is outdated. We say firefighter. Others are still in use. The word actor can mean both male and female actors, but some people still describe female actors as actresses. What about the term male nurse? Is this sexist? Some writers still use the word man to mean all humans, for example, in discussions about man and nature. In many pairs of male-female family members, we usually put the male first. However, with parents, we say mother and father. But in many other cases, we say, for example, brother and sister, husband and wife. Is this to be regarded as sexist? If so, what should we do if this is the way people speak? In Lecture 4, we look at the suggestion by Deborah Tannen that communication between men and women should be considered as cross-cultural communication, like communicating with people of different cultures. Tannen says that having been raised differently, men and women come from different cultures. Finally, having looked at all the issues above, in Week 5, we ask the question, is it fair to compare men and women's language as distinct and separate? In doing so, are we suggesting that one type of talk is inherently superior to another? Or should we look only at differences between speakers in different situations without considering their gender? Maybe we should ask not what are the differences between men and women, but what are the differences between different people in the same situation. So, let's start on.